She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our show today is made possible due to the generous support of the Chapman Automotive Group, always doing their share and showing they care for their community and for the planet. You can learn more about them and the great work they're doing by visiting their website at chapmantucson.com. So everybody take a deep breath today because we're going to talk about a very important subject. The name of our show is Imagine Life Without Plastic. And imagine that indeed. It makes you take a deep breath because imagine life, imagine our planet without plastic, and a big smile spreads over all of our faces and understands what that exactly means. Our guest today is Jay Sinha. He is co-founder of Life Without Plastic. Joel and his wife Chantel were so concerned about the use and impacts of plastics on our health and the health of the planet that they actually started a company, Life Without Plastic, in 2006 as their way to make a significant contribution to reducing the large quantities of plastic that are consumed every second of every day around the world. And I call it a company, but what they started was a company and a community, and they become part of a movement, and they're part of bigger movements. So they are partners with the planet in terms of figuring out what life without plastic would be like. Jay, thank you so much for being here, Jay. I cannot wait to let the questions begin.
Wow, thank you for that introduction. That's quite an honor.
It's very heartfelt.
Oh my gosh.
Very heartfelt.
Well, I can tell. Thank you.
And I look and see that you're an international company. All of the standards that you adhere to are, to me, the companies of the future that are going to survive and thrive. At least that's like what I like to tell myself.
I agree.
I
socially
really
responsible
do.
Businesses
yes.
are the ones that are moving forward and really making positive changes.
Yes. People,
and they're more and more out there, incredibly.
And they're growing. People, planet, profit.
Ones, yeah.
I mean, it's you can have yes. all three, and it starts that way. People, planet, profit. Well, why don't yeah. we start with your background story? It's a wonderful one. You were having your first child. Light bulb started to go on, literally, and I love that how you had that on the website. Light bulb number one, light bulb number two, and I'm like, I can understand
exactly.
this story. So tell us
yes.
a little bit about your human story and how
sure.
you started to not just worry, but become active about what you were seeing.
Sure, yeah. Well, I guess it goes back a ways. Like both Chantal and I, my partner, I'm going to mention Chantal a fair bit as we speak because she is obviously key to everything we do, and we're complete partners in this business, and she actually began the business more than I. I came on later full-time. I was continuing at my job. But we were both quite environmentally oriented and health-conscious ever since we've known each other and before that into our childhoods. But in 2002, we were living in a home that was quite moldy. We only discovered this after being there for a couple of years, and we really discovered it when Chantel was 8 months pregnant with our coming son, and we had to leave the building actually almost overnight because we had some inspectors come in to do some checking and testing, and they said, you really should not be here, especially with Chantel being so pregnant. And so we left quite quickly, and that was just a real sort of wake-up call, one of the light bulbs, as you mentioned. It just got us thinking, well, we really got to be more aware of our surroundings and our health, both environmentally in terms of our surroundings, but also what we're putting into our bodies. And what that experience led to was a year of being very sick. We both became very sick after our son was born. We were able to take time off, both of us, but we were just very much healing. And it led us to look really at our whole life and what we were bringing into our lives and what we were putting into our bodies. And During that time, Chantal read an article in Mothering Magazine, which you might have heard of. It no longer exists as a magazine. Peg O'Mara is her gem, and now it's more of an online platform, an amazing resource. They had done an article on plastic toxicity and the risks of it for children. And so that got us thinking about plastics around us, bottles and Tupperware containers, and we started looking twice at them. And we thought, okay, well, let's get a non-plastic water bottle. So we looked around, and there were hardly any out there. This is not that long ago, back in 2002. It was very hard to find, for example, a stainless steel water bottle. We did find one eventually. It was a company called Clean Canteen, which at that time was a co-op. It was not really a company in the same way as it is now. And so we ordered one, tried it out, and thought it was great. Didn't really think too much about it, and then started integrating other aspects of non-plastic living into our lives slowly by getting rid of our Tupperware. Stimulated by our son, we started looking for glass baby bottles as well. And again, had a very difficult time finding them. They used to be the norm back in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
And then all of a sudden, gone.
Exactly. Replaced by plastic, replaced by primarily, at the time, bisphenol A-based bottles, which is thankfully less and less the case. But very difficult at that time in the early 2000s to find a glass baby bottle. So we did research, and Chantal found that Evenflow, based out of Ohio, was still making the glass bottles. So we contacted them, and they said, sure, no problem. You can purchase some, but the minimum order is 1,000. Because they only did wholesale.
Wow.
And so that kind of was another light bulb that got us thinking.
Quantity.
And that was, and we knew there were others out there who were looking for alternatives to plastic. Some of our friends and just others out in the, who were looking to lead more of an environmental lifestyle. So we thought, well, Chantal had always wanted to start her own company and was looking for an idea, and this just naturally evolved in that direction. So we began the company with those glass baby bottles and with the Clean Canteen bottles, and then shortly thereafter brought on some stainless steel food containers. And it just kind of grew from there, constantly stimulated by our son, who was growing at the time. Chantal was breastfeeding him, and so we were using the glass baby bottles to store milk, but he's always been an influence. Everything sort of goes through his filter, in that if we're, at the time, if we're putting a food into a plastic container, we're thinking, well, if this is leaching, that means there's chemicals going into the food and then going into him. And why? Why should we be doing that? So we just look for ways to eliminate
that. Making that connection, you have to underscore that. It's like lots of people don't make the connection. I'm drinking out of something that's putting poison in my body. It's not necessarily what I'm drinking, but it's the chemicals that are leaching still today. You know, I have to say this. This was like, your son is 11 now, is he? 11?
He's 12.
12. So it was even before the major implosion or explosion of the internet, but you had enough interest with people among friends and everything to start an online store. Extremely courageous.
It started in 2006 as an online store, but it was slow to get going, definitely.
I bet.
But one of the things that always, the visual image that really has always done it for me, and is to explain to people the issue of the leaching, is when you have, for example, a Tupperware container and you put something that is oily and perhaps tomatoey, like a tomato sauce or a chili into it, and say you microwave it, or even just put it into the container warm, when you empty the container and wash it, or try to wash it, you may still find that there's a residue of orange or red.
Absolutely
still
true.
Lining the container. And so that means the tomato sauce is going into the container. So correspondingly, the container or aspects of it must be coming out into the tomato sauce. And that perfectly follows with the fact that the plastic contains plasticizers such as phthalates, which are really not very stable. They are quite volatile, and when exposed to oil and heat, will move around, will leach more. So,
and I have to ask you about, just go back for a minute, about you and your wife getting very sick. Was the major cause of that the mold, or was it a combination of things? I mean, I realize it's a very personal question, but what was making you so sick?
It was really the mold.
The mold.
It was really the mold.
We have mold
from the home.
Now.
And yes. Yeah, I was also getting it from my workplace at the building. At the time, I was working in a building which was a sick building, and there was mold issues there. So I was kind of getting it in both directions, and Chantal was just extremely vulnerable being pregnant. So
right.
It was primarily that, yeah.
And from what I know, it does make you really sick, and it's largely undiagnosed. I mean, from what I know,
yes.
It's not like, oh,
yes.
You have mold poisoning. Really?
It's very, very hard to diagnose and trace,
yes.
But it is becoming more common. It's a recognized illness known as environmental illness now, or sick building syndrome. So there are doctors who now specialize in environmental illness, and it is becoming more
so
accepted.
So exciting. I mean, there is good news in Mrs. Green's world. It's like, oh my gosh, finally. So I want to talk a little bit about, in the very beginning, what I would say is you were very intentional either at the very beginning or certainly now about things that you were going to set as standards: safe, high quality, ethically sourced, and earth friendly. They were your values.
Yeah.
It was very clear. I love it
yes.
when I go to visit a site and like they are so intentional about what they want to do. I mean, very, very clear. So how
right.
did you go about even, I have two parts to this question and I ask long
okay.
questions sometimes, but I would love you to go through a couple of them, especially how do you ensure the ethical sourcing? How do you ensure that you
okay.
know what the ingredients are in? Take as much time as you want because it's at the very
okay.
core of who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I'll step back just one step a little bit. Just we have sort of four fundamental guiding principles that underline our company, what we do, and their health, environment, integrity, and community.
Unbelievable.
And so those infuse basically everything that we do or we try to. And in terms of, so health and environment really come into the end integrity, well, community too, comes into the ethical sourcing aspect. And the main way that we ensure things are ethically sourced, there are a few ways, but the core is building relationships with our suppliers. We get to know them. But even before that, we require them to, at the very least, fill out a questionnaire, which has a number of very in-depth questions relating to environmental practices and labor practices, which gives us a snapshot of where they're at.
Right.
And we have not yet been able to visit all of our suppliers, because we have suppliers all over the world, but we do have relationships with all of them, and we have visited a number of them. We source, just to give you some examples, from various countries ranging from India to, we have long-standing suppliers in Thailand and Korea, also China, though it's sad to say, but we do have to be careful with China because
right.
we've had
no,
some bad experiences
the truth.
There.
I mean, it's just absolutely
But similarly,
the
we've
truth.
Had bad experiences in China too, in
yeah.
India too. It just varies, but you have to be careful. And that's why we go through this whole ethical sourcing
right.
procedure. So it's the questionnaire, building the relationship, and then we do testing as well of samples and products, especially when we're creating a new product. We source products from other brands, and we also create some of our own products, which we have manufactured. We sort of have the two lines in what we offer. And if we're sourcing another branded product, we build a relationship with that company. Clean Canteen is a perfect example. Another
right.
is Lunchbox or Glass Dharma. We get to know them and we get to know their practices. And if it's something that is coming from a country where we might have questionable practices, we ask for testing results and that sort of thing. So it's tracing back to the source in a way and trying to get as much information as possible. Another key aspect is that we need to know all of the ingredients in any product we carry. That's a prerequisite. And we don't carry products where we don't know exactly what's in it. And that's been a bit of a stimulator for some suppliers that we've worked with who've never had to disclose everything. And now they do.
And you know,
so on our website.
You do, you know, it's like, show me your friends, that expression, and I'll tell you who you are. One of your friends, to really make a stretch, is Green America. I mean, they are the gold standard,
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I love them. I've had Elisa on my show. They're untouchable.
She's amazing.
I mean, if they give you the Green America seal of approval, I don't have to know anything else because they
yeah.
have, literally, I don't know why we can't call it the Green standard, but it is the green gold standard in
yeah,
purchasing
well,
products.
Amazing.
They are amazing. They really are.
Yeah.
And you don't
have
to worry.
Global change.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's, in fact, going through that process of becoming gold certified through the Green America certification process, their certification system, that's a very intense procedure in terms of the questionnaire and the interview. So they really look right into the green DNA of your company and look at what you're doing. So
I love that. That should be a hashtag. Yeah. Hashtag green DNA. That's a really
good
one.
They're looking for.
Because that is really what they do. You better be totally exposed, naked, and unafraid of what you have, because if you have something bad, we're going to find it. And for the greater good. It's not like a gotcha.
Absolutely.
It's a standard that they want to protect all of us. And I think the world of them. It's time for me to have them back on again. It's been a while. I think of all these great guests I've had. And it's like, if you have the Green America Certified Business Gold Seal, you're good. You're really good.
Well, I should point out also, even if you have a lower standard, such as the silver or bronze, you may well be at the gold level. It's just you don't have the track record.
Right.
It takes time to some extent to build up to the gold standard, but some companies which are equally as gold as any other may just not be there yet in terms of timing or certain aspects which are less, less crucial.
And I just have kind of a not exactly off-the-wall question, but I'm sure you have an answer for it. You want your products to be safe, high quality, ethically sourced, and earth-friendly. What do you look for in terms, like some of them to me, safe means there's no harmful ingredients. Ethically sourced means no humans were hurt in the making of this product. And earth-friendly won't hurt the earth. What do you look for in terms of quality? Is it durability? Is it the ingredients that you've chosen? What are you looking for in terms of when you say high quality? Because that can be very, it's a very broad interpretation.
Sure. Well, it's both of the items that you mentioned. For example, durability is key.
Right.
You may have noticed that we really don't carry any disposables on our site. We may eventually, possibly some bio-based stuff eventually, but that's a murky gray area and a whole other conversation. But we've stayed away from disposables because a lot of our focus is durability. We're looking for products that will last, ideally generations, which is one reason why we do really like stainless steel and glass as well. They're timeless materials which really do last. And then you go a little deeper, and for example, with stainless steel, there are hundreds of grades of stainless steel. So that's where you get into quality. There are certain grades. We won't go below. We really focus on 304, 18-8, or 18-10, which are sort of the highest grades of consumer-oriented stainless steel. And another aspect which may sound a little strange, but it's really led some of our key decisions, is we look back in time to the way things used to be done to find materials that have stood the test of time. One example is, glass, for example, has always been around. But also in terms of stainless steel, we were looking to create a ice cube tray. The idea came up back in, initially it was one of our first ideas when we began the company, but in 2007 we started actively looking at it, and we based it on a model of an aluminum ice cube tray that my mother had from the 60s.
Oh my gosh, I remember.
With the lever handle.
Yes.
I'm having
a flashback.
and you can still find them on eBay
and
stuff.
That's awesome.
But we wanted to make one out of stainless steel. So it's looking back in time for the idea and to some extent the design, but using a newer, safer material to actually create the product. Similarly, wood is another excellent example. We carry a number of amazing wood brushes from an old family-run company in Germany, which makes most of the brushes by hand. It's just top-notch quality, using sustainably harvested wood, natural bristles, just high quality, but also craftsmanship, workmanship, which is going into them and which has stood the test of time and uses time-honored traditions and techniques.
Which means it's going to last and it's not going to have to end up in the garbage. So that's, I mean, another huge thing about minimizing waste, not just about using a high-quality product, but it not filling the landfill. Believe it or not, we're going to have to take our first break. I told you.
Already?
It's like, oh, my gosh, and I have so much more to cover. So, everybody, I know that you are going to want to stay with us. I'm having the pleasure of interviewing Joel Sinha. He's the co-founder of Life Without Plastic. While we take this quick break, you should visit their website. It's lifewithoutplastic.com. Their store is amazing. We'll be back and hear more about microbeads and how they're partnering with people, why we should care about them, what the dangers are, and the journey of the company that grew along with the age of their son. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Can you predict the future? The reality is we can't, but we can be ready for it. Funded by the National Science Foundation, researchers at the University of Arizona are working on a $3 million project to study the monsoon and learn about our changing desert weather, climate, and ecology. Such knowledge will help guide us to a more sustainable future, not just for our desert, but for the world. Now that's thinking ahead. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. The name of our show is Imagine Life Without Plastic. It sounds like such a wonderful life to imagine. What a wonderful thing to imagine each and every day. Our guest today is Jay Sinha. He is the co-founder of Life Without Plastic. And Jay and his wife, Chantal, were so concerned about the use of plastics and the impact on our health and the health of the planet that they actually got into action, started a company, Life Without Plastic, in 2006 as their way to make a continuing significant contribution to reducing the large quantities of plastics that are consumed every second of every day around the world. And I dare say, if you've been a part of Mrs. Green's World for any amount of time, you know it is one of my most favorite subjects about which to cover. And I know that plastics are making us sick. So here we have Jay with us. And I want, before we go into the whole microbeads issue, which I think is very important, I wanted to ask you, Jay, how did you, like, a little bit about the evolution. I'm so intrigued by you started out with things that your son could use. Plastic bottles were gone. You got water bottles. And I think it's very funny, in a wonderful way, the metaphor of, as he grew, so did we and our products. Because, we need that. He's going to school. What are we going to put in his school lunch? So can you talk a little bit about that? Is that accurate?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, toys is one example. We don't necessarily carry that many toys now, but he has always been fascinated by cars and trucks. And one of the gold standard makers of toys out there is Fagus. It's a German company, phenomenal company that makes wooden cars, trucks, trailers, tractors, all kinds of things that
they can put in their mouth.
Yes. They're completely natural finishes. But so we thought, oh, well, great, let's carry the Fagus line. And so we started looking into it, and we contacted Fagus, and there was already another distributor who we worked with, but we decided to even go to Germany. We were meeting some other suppliers too, but to go to the Fagus factory and have a tour, and it was phenomenal. It's this amazing company that most of those Fagus toys are made by youth with disabilities, and they have actually designed the machines, these are really intense, you know, saws and drills, machines to be actually completely safe and usable by people with specific disabilities. It's a phenomenal, it's like a co-op essentially as well. And they make these just gorgeous toys. So that stimulated us even more to want to carry them. And so all that came from our son as well, learning about Faggus and the beauty
about
that they're
making. About products to put on your body. I mean, I use in my my TEDx talk, every 40 seconds a child is diagnosed with cancer. And how can anybody hear that and not really have a big alarm go off that something's wrong? It's either the air we breathe, what they're eating, what they're rubbing up against their body. But every 40 seconds, that's a fact that I think is quite
absolutely
shocking. And inspirational as well. It's like, so what do you do with it? Okay, what about, you want to talk now a little bit about microbeads in plastic? It's really a big, hot issue. And we actually have, you have some good news to share, I think.
Yeah, well, it's just to step back for people who maybe aren't aware of the issue, microbeads are tiny plastic particles made of either usually polyethylene or polypropylene, and they're generally less than a millimeter in size. And they're used as abrasive exfoliants in personal care products, things like facial scrubs, soaps, body wash, and even, this just blows me away, toothpaste.
Yes, that blew me away when I read you on your website. Mrs. Green should know that. And I was like, what? Even in
incredible
toothpaste?
Oh. Yeah, certain Crest and Colgate toothpastes where you can see the little blue, it's a gel, and you can see the little blue flakes. That's actually plastic.
Great.
And some products have like even 1 to 5% microbeads. Like Neutrogena's Deep Clean has about 360,000 microbeads in just a single tube. So the problem with them is that, just to give you a life cycle example, you wash your face with a microbead-laced cleanser, say, and you rinse your face, and all the little non-dissolving microbeads go down the drain,
right,
which is what they were designed to do. That's the crazy thing. It's actually a product that was designed to have plastic go down the drain. And
a cheap
they
filler.
Drain away.
I mean, that's what it is. It's
a
cheap
filler.
Yeah,
and abrasive. And they drain away out of sight, but we all know, certainly on this show, that there is no away. They're small enough to just waltz right through municipal sewage treatment facilities and head straight out into the water system. So they go out and they pollute rivers, lakes, and oceans. And then that's where the serious problems begin, because cutting-edge research being done by a number of NGOs, in particular, I would say the Five Gyres Institute. They
yes,
really
I'd love you to talk about them in a bit.
This
yeah.
issue. Sure. They've found that microbeads are now in significant amounts in all of the five oceanic gyres around the world, but the highest concentration they found to date was in the Great Lakes up in northern North America.
Like, people, are you listening? This is bad.
20% of the world's freshwater. So the microbeads as well, another negative aspect is that they're what's called hydrophobic. So that means that they repel water, but they attract fats, which is what most persistent organic pollutants are made of. Things like pesticides, oils, flame retardants are attracted to these microbeads. So they concentrate them. And then the microbeads, which resemble tiny eggs, are often gobbled up by fish or other marine wildlife. And so it intoxicates them and makes its way up the food chain eventually to humans, other fish, and at which point, by then, the toxins are really quite concentrated in quite high levels as they've gone into the fat tissue of the fish. So the irony of all this is that, one, that they were designed to go down the drain, and two, that there are perfectly viable natural alternatives to them out there that are even more effective at exfoliating and removing dead skin cells, or because they're more coarse, things like sea salt, coconut husks, apricot shells, crushed cocoa beans.
Walnut shells.
So,
I mean, my soap that I use, I went to get a pedicure at a very healthy place that uses Spa Ritual, which is a healthy product, even by environmental working group standards. And my person said, Gina, your feet are so smooth. And I said, yeah, it's a natural soap that I get at the farmer's market, and it's seeds that I scrub. There are seeds in the soap. So it's like guilt-free scrubbing, and I know I'm not doing anything wrong. So I just think that there are alternatives, and it lasts forever. It's not that expensive, which is another one that I just have to always explode that myth. It's not always more expensive. depending upon the life of the product. I mean, mine lasts 6 months. So anyway, five gyres.
Yes, well,
great work.
Now we can get into some of the good news. They're doing amazing work. They're doing right now the most cutting-edge research in the world on plastic pollution in the five plastic gyres around the world. Right now, as we speak, they're on an expedition called the Sea Change Expedition in the Atlantic, doing trawls of the surface layer of the ocean to gather plastic samples. And along the way, in Bermuda, for example, they've been doing education sessions with youth groups as well. And the crews on the ship as well are made up of a variety of people. Jack Johnson, the musician.
He is doing unbelievable work. Yeah, Huffington Post just put something out yesterday, what he's doing about plastic. And big names like that help. It helps get young people aware because they adore him. So it's bring on the star power. Yes, a very timely. Okay.
Well, and a key aspect of what Five Gyres does, and I'd also mention the Algolita Marine Research and Education, because they sort of began this process. Anna Cummins and Marcus Erickson, who founded and head up Five Gyres, worked with Algolita as well. Captain Charles Jordan, he was sort of the discoverer of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch many years ago. But Five Gyres now, a key aspect of what they do is using this research to actually influence policy and create new legislation. They've been extremely successful in this right now. And we just had a quarterly conference call with the Plastic Pollution Coalition yesterday, and Lisa Cass-Boyle, who's the policy director for Five Gyres, was giving an update on what's going on. And there is currently a bill to ban microbeads in personal care products in going through the process in California, and it has passed through the Assembly, and it's currently before the Senate Committee on Environmental Quality, and is expected to pass. But companies such as Johnson & Johnson and Procter & Gamble have written opposition letters, so there is still a fair bit of opposition, which is ironic because both of these companies have also vowed to remove microbeads from their products and given timelines.
And is it correct, Jay, isn't it the little microorganisms, they never biodegrade? I mean, I have had people on show that say the ingredients that made up the very first plastic bag are either out there floating in the ocean still, or a fish ate them and we ate them and then they died within us, but they never biodegrade. We're not talking about a long process. We're talking about never.
Well, I mean, they'll just get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until they're really minuscule and minuscule. But they're still petroleum products.
Yes.
They're still made out of petroleum and natural gas, so they still have that toxic, origin. So that aspect is never going away. As small as they get, and the smaller they get, the easier they are to be taken up by smaller organisms. And the big worry is plankton, because plankton is at the core, is at the base of the global food chain. People don't realize how important the oceans are. I mean, if the oceans die, we all die. It's as simple as that. And plankton is the core food source that is both maintaining food stores for the rest of the ocean, but also creating much of the oxygen that goes up into the air for us. So if plankton goes, we're really in serious trouble. And the plankton can take up broken down plastic and become intoxicated and die as well.
And an exciting thing about what you're doing, and I don't mean to interrupt, it's such a serious problem, but when I have somebody on like Diana Cohen, who's the CEO and co-founder of the Plastic Pollution Coalition, sometimes my guests and me are left with, great, where am I going to buy the next thing? What am I going to do? What do I have to know? And your company is an answer. I mean, that's what got me so excited about it. Okay, so here we have all of this plastic pollution, but a company that has truly taken the initiative to make things readily available. And the other thing I want to say about your company is that the price points are real and reasonable and may seem pricey, but they'll last forever. It's not like you're buying these little plastic, containers that you give as to leftovers, they're things that you can keep and probably pass down to your kids. So it's an investment. It's more an investment than a purchase. I sound like I'm doing
exactly
a commercial for you, but it's the truth.
Well, thank you. No, but that's exactly how we look at it, because, I mean, someone might scoff at the idea of spending $15 to buy one container.
Forever.
A stainless steel container. But exactly. I mean, it will last longer than your Tupperware. That's 3 coffees at Starbucks. So, I mean,
I use that analogy all the time.
Carrying your lunch for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's going to cost you 2 lattes. What's the big deal? Make some coffee at home and get healthy products in your cupboard and in your pantries. So...
Yeah.
So how are you partnering with them? And I want to go like to Five Gyres. To me, I say to people that say, what can I do? I say, sign a petition. Find a petition to sign. This is one of them. This is an organization that you can take a look at and become part of the change that you want to see in the world, because you can take action. And that's people. The elected officials will listen. They will, if they think enough people care.
That's right. Yeah, no, Five Gyres is a fabulous example. They're doing amazing work. They have petitions on their website. Plastic Pollution Coalition is another one. Environmental Working Group, Surf Rider Foundation.
EWG.
Algolita. They're amazing.
EWG. I mean, I just say to people, I have 3 letters for you. EWG. Because if you want to know about safe cosmetics, safe sunscreen, food safety, Dirty Dozen, Clean 15. We've had them on the show so many times. They're going to be on next week after your show about food. Dana Gunders, who I absolutely love. She wrote a book, Waste Free Kitchen. So anyway, so go ahead.
Another one that I'd really like to highlight is the Algolita Plastic Ocean Pollution Solutions International Youth Summit. Because a lot of what these organizations are doing is providing programs for youth. Which is fantastic. That's where change is really occurring.
Right.
Yeah, because the youth, they get it. They just get it. I mean, they see what plastic is doing to the environment, and they then ask, well, why is it there in the first place? And then they take action to prevent it from happening. So the Algolita International Youth Summit, they call it the POPS Summit, that brings together youth from around the world once a year late February, early March. In order to apply, each youth has to submit an idea of how they can be a part of the solution to minimize plastic pollution in the oceans. And then if they're accepted, then they actually go to the summit and begin to put their project into practice and develop it and meet other students.
I want to go,
Jay. Yeah, sounds amazing. I want to go too.
I want to go.
I'm going to go too eventually.
Really, you're busy saving the world in other places, but everybody, it's Algolita, Algalita.org.
Exactly.
And I know that our friends Carter and Olivia Reese, who we've had on
the
show.
One more generation.
Yeah, One More Generation. They have the their
they were
banner.
There last year.
Mm-hmm. They're awesome. They came out here.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's just.
I was
going to
say they were at
Olivia.
The POP Solution. They were at the plastic the POP Solution this past year, and from what I could see, made an amazing presentation and had a huge impact with what they're doing. Their NGO is actually created curriculums for schools.
I know.
That Jim Reese, their father, and one of the sort of directors behind the organization was saying that they're looking now to spread that curriculum internationally, which is fantastic.
And they're doing it. I mean,
when
they came to Tucson, they spoke to every single classroom in this one elementary school. And you're right about kids getting it, because then they get it and other kids get it. They spent 4 days with us, and we are big.
And then parents
joke
get
about
it eventually.
Being fans. And Jim is great. I mean, he is all world. He says, I'm just the driver. And I'm saying, you're just the driver of the change that we're seeing in the world.
For sure.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So there are many intersections, I know.
Yeah.
And we love them. And what they're doing, I mean, even deeper when they're, you know, they just sent us a link to they're just so amazing, these kids. And it's all connected about the work they're doing with the devastation of the rhino habitats. And, you know, I said to them, I said, kids, how do you even handle that? And they call me Mrs. Green. It's pretty funny. I've spent quite a bit of time with them. They say, you know, Mrs. Green, it's awful. And it makes you really sick and really sad and really scared. And then you know you have to go do something about it. I mean, that is out of the mouth of a 12-year-old. So it's unbelievable. We are in a minute for a break again. We still have more great stuff to talk about. We went a little bit off the grid there for a second, but I think it's all relevant. Right. Everybody, we are having the absolute sheer joy of spending time with Jay Sinha. He's the co-founder of Life Without Plastic, and he and his wife, Chantel, were so concerned about the use and impact of plastics on their health and the planet that they did something about it, and they started this amazing company. And Jay, when we come back, I'd really like to talk a little bit about, there's a couple more things, like the impact of mommy bloggers, that's one. And also, I'd like to know your view of where the world is. You have been in business for a while. And are we getting into a more dangerous situation? Do you see things coming that are making us really, you know, healthier? And, you know, go into a little bit about that. And then I want to talk about some of your most popular products and how the word spreads. So everybody, we've got a lot more good stuff to talk about. Please stay here with me and hear more from Jay Sinha, co-founder of Life Without Plastic. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we are asking you to think about plastic. How much of it do you have in your life? Are you putting it on your body? Is it lining your pantry? Is it in your refrigerator? Because the life you change may be your own, the life you save, yours, your family's, your children. It's really nasty stuff. And we have someone here with us that knows all about that. He actually got very sick from environmental disease. Our guest today is Jay Sinha. He is the co-founder of Life Without Plastic, which is an online store. And I say that with, like, it's not just that. It's an online community where you can find a lot of great information about living a healthier life and contributing to the health of the planet. I mean, it really matters. These two people wanted to address the environmental disaster, truly underscore, exclamation point, that the consumption of plastic is causing the Earth today and the damage that leaching plastic can cause to human and animal health. Jay, thank you so much, not just for showing up today to be interviewed, but for what you're doing to make such a huge difference for all of our health through your important
work. Thank you, Gina. It goes both ways. Thank you
really
for what you're doing.
Great. I love it. I just love it. It's like, it's every day that I get to interview someone like you, I have hope for the planet. So the role of mommy bloggers, I think it's also wonderful that you are very inclusive in your whole sense from which you come, talking about the Agalita Marine research, knowing about Jim and Olivia and Carter and Five Gyres. And then you wanted to talk about this one mommy blogger. I believe she's a mommy blogger. You gave it to me in your notes about, what is her name? I found it and then I lost it again. They have a big impact on our planet. So it is Mary.
Beth Terry.
Yes, sorry for that little bit. Beth Terry, founder of My Plastic Free Life.
Yeah, well, Beth is not so much a mommy blogger. She is a plastic-free advocate,
amazing
blogger warrior. She is incredible.
She's a champion.
Oh, my gosh, she's amazing. She's a long-standing colleague and friend and partner, and she does amazing work. She has a blog called My Plastic-Free Life, and essentially what she's done, since 2007, she has been documenting every single piece of plastic that comes into her life.
Oh my gosh.
And it's minimized, and she's kept it too. She actually has kept it in her apartment. She did a post recently about doing a purge in her apartment and has these boxes. You can see a picture of the plastic that she has gathered over the years. It's very little compared to most of us. It's minuscule, but it's a really incredible thing what she's doing, because she's showing very visibly and very tangibly where plastic is in everyday life. But beyond that, she's an amazing writer and researcher, and she is providing all kinds of resources, tips, tools, ideas for how to decrease plastic in your life, in your everyday life. So she is just an amazing resource and an inspiration for all of us.
And you, it's a good example that, if you don't mind my interrupting, where someone that lives as consciously as she does, plastic comes into our lives. And I can give you an example. If we order something out, a drink, and it might come in a paper cup, but they automatically assume we want a plastic lid and a straw. So avoiding plastic, I have to say now, no straw, please, and we don't need a lid. But, you know, that whole system of stuff, and where is it going? So that's the kind of thing, everyday thing she's looking at and saying, I don't even want to do this, but look what's coming into my life.
And she's a huge advocate for exactly that. Like going, when you go somewhere, actually, you know, saying no to the straw, or bringing your own container. And if they're not going to fill your container with soup instead of giving you a styrofoam soup container, then asking them why, asking to speak to the manager. I met her in San Francisco for the first time. We met at the Green Festival, and this is just one example. We were going in to the Green Festival, and you get, you know, when you go to a conference, you get those plastic wristbands.
Right.
And she refused it. I didn't even think of it.
She came
to the door, and she refused it. And she said, I really don't want one. The person at the door said, well, you have to have one to go in. She said, well, no, it doesn't make any sense. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, Beth, of course. Welcome. Way to go. And she was able to explain the reason why it made no sense for her to have to wear a piece of plastic on her wrist in order to get into the conference. So it's little things like that that she notices and acts on that make her incredibly powerful. And
it's so relevant. I mean, I did go to her website, and it's her blog is My Plastic-Free Life, and it's just every little thing that you might come up with in your life, so relevant.
Yes.
It's not some, you know, obscure science you have to, it's like, oh, wow, I never thought of that, the plastic bags. One of the things I notice at conferences now, the ubiquitous lanyard, they're collecting them now.
Yes.
They're asking you to please put it back, because I had a lanyard collection that goes back 10 years. I should just bring them in. So that's another good example.
That is a positive step.
And let's talk about really your company and some really important ways to avoid plastic through the purchase of products that are every day. Can you give us some of your most fun and top-selling products that customers are drawn to your site, and then it becomes just a great marriage? What gets them hooked?
Sure. Well, one thing that we often say, people come to us and are kind of overwhelmed and say, where do I start? And I think it's important not to try and completely remove plastic from your life completely automatically. If you're new to it, it'll become overwhelming that way.
Right.
But an easy way to start, I mean, are the basics, such as getting a water bottle. A durable water bottle, stainless steel or glass, and reusable bags. It's so easy. There's just no need to be accepting plastic bags anymore. Keep them in your car, in your purse. It's so easy, in your backpack.
I love that you said that. Those are my two. Like, they just start there.
Okay, yeah, and Beth as well. So, yeah, so easy to start that way. And if you want to dig a little deeper, going into your home, another way to start is to look at the way we look at it is as sort of a line drawn in the sand, is we try not to have any plastic touching food or drink as much as possible. So Tupperware is a very easy one to start on. You can get a few containers. if you don't want to buy containers, use mason jars. They're the most amazing thing.
Right.
And they're so easy to come across. And they're high quality. They should last forever. They're glass. They're completely inert. They don't leach anything. As long as it's good quality glass, which is not an issue in North America. It's only from certain other countries. You have to be careful about lead in glass. It's not an issue here. But that's one easy way to start. You don't have to even buy anything. If you do want to take it a step further and, say, get containers for lunch for your children, there are stainless steel containers out there. The ones that's probably one of our most popular popular products is our airtight stainless steel containers.
And hard to find, which, commercially available. Mothers say that. They've said to me, where can I get it? I went to five stores. Where can I get it? So that's really, that makes it easily accessible through your website.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and they're becoming more
and for people
more common.
At work,
there's more and more people look for them.
That bring their lunch.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just for kids, it's for people at work. So that'll get them hooked. And the Tupperware thing is like such an our generation thing. I was so proud of all the Tupperware I had all my life because we weren't using disposable anything. We were using it. And then to find out, not so much. It's really, that was really a long time ago. Yes.
Well, and another one that I love to talk about is brushes. Because if you look around in your kitchen, in your bathroom, most of the brushes you probably have are plastic or made of plastic. Some examples would be like a scrub brush for washing dishes, a toothbrush, a toilet brush. We have replacements for all of those made out of wood and natural bristles. And they're a joy not only to use but to look at. The toilet brush, you know, you don't often talk about toilet brushes, but the toilet brush set that we get from Germany, it's gorgeous. It's like a work of design art. And
I love to talk about toilets and guilt-free flushing and how you're cleaning them. It's a big, huge issue.
Yes.
And did you actually say, did I hear you right, that there are plastic-free toothbrushes?
Yes.
I did not find
have,
that on your site. You do have to tell us about that. OMG.
We do. And and I'd like to give you the detail on it because it's it should be explained. There are more and more brushes out there that are environmental and some that are like wood or bamboo, which are excellent. But in terms of the bristles, this is the only one we found that has non-plastic bristles. The bristles, I have to explain, the wood, the base, the handle is made out of beech wood, which is sustainably grown in Germany, and the bristles are made out of pig hair. Now, that's a complete turnoff for a lot of people, but that's exactly why I need to explain.
Please explain. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So if you are vegan, or it may be an issue that you cannot get beyond, and I completely understand that, and that's fine. If you are okay with it, the pig hair comes from a race of long-haired pigs, which are only found in China. And these pigs are used for their meat. The meat, once they are used for the meat, the skins and the hair are normally discarded as garbage and waste. So this German company has recuperated the skins and is using the hair to make these toothbrushes. Obviously, they're completely cleaned and sterilized.
Right.
The reason they go this route is because they have tried a number of different, as many things they can think of as different bristles in both plant-based and animal-based materials for bristles, and they haven't found anything else that is hardy enough and that stands up to both the tension and pressure from the teeth and the acidity from the mouth and the constant moisture being wet all the time. To be able to last for a few months. So these brushes, they generally last, depending how much you use them and how hard you use them, 2 to 4 months. And the bristles actually absorb the water, so they can be hard, stiff, or soft. If you soak them a little bit in warm water first, they become softer. Or if you like it quite stiff, then you just wet it a little bit and start brushing right away. So.
Of all the things you could have brought up, it's the most fun. I cannot believe it. I'm going to make sure that we tag it in our social media, and I'm going to say, toothbrushes from pig hair, listen in. Yes. And it's like you covered it all, ethically sourced, and it started, the synapses started connecting because it'll be biodegradable then. It's okay to put back into the earth because that's what's going to happen. I mean, it's what I call out here the whole green enchilada. I mean, it's unbelievable. I never heard of that ever. And I can rest assured, you can rest assured, a lot of our listeners haven't either, and they're going to be Googling life without plastic. I never ever thought about it, but it is all of those things that are collectively making such a mess.
Yeah, and one other small point I'd make is if for someone who is, for example, a vegan and just cannot fathom the idea of using a toothbrush that has pig hair bristles, I totally understand that. There's an option out there called Brush with Bamboo that is making a fantastic toothbrush. They use nylon bristles, which are they're FDA approved. They've been tested. They're quite safe, but they are looking for a vegan. It is a vegan alternative currently, but they're looking for a non-plastic alternative. They're an excellent company as well, and we're hoping that they will find something that is non-plastic and vegan as well eventually. But if you are in that category, then they may be an option as
well. And it's so wonderful how you promote other companies. We are really good buds with Glass Dharma, and I've had straws
David
for
Leonard.
Years. And I broke one, and of course they offer lifetime guarantee, not a problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
You just get another straw, and they're really hard to break. But I love it when a company like yours, which is seling products, is very happy, such largesse to share good information about other companies doing great things. I really want to say that I appreciate that and on.
It's all going in the same direction.
It is, for like a better planet and cleaner air and a healthier life. So what do you think, in your experience since 2006, what are people easily willing to pay more for? Are there some things that they say, I don't mind because this is that important to me? Are there some products that stick out about, I don't mind spending an extra dollar or two on that?
Yeah, well, water bottles is one.
Good.
I mean, as time goes on, they're getting more and more higher quality. We carry the clean canteens as our primary stainless steel bottle, and we carry a variety of glass ones. And the clean canteens are really, as far as we can tell, like the top-notch, and they are constantly bringing in new products, insulated and with different types of caps. And they're at a relatively high price premium, but for the quality that they are, it's not that high when
and
you look at it.
And it could last forever.
We talked about earlier.
I mean, it really could.
Exactly. So people tend to be willing to pay for things like that, which are tested and clearly high quality, have a strong brand that they've seen or heard of, and that has been through a lot of tests, so people know it works. Like the insulation of those bottles is phenomenal. You can put in a hot coffee in the morning, and 8 hours later, it is still steaming. I mean, it still amazes me how effectively the insulation works on those.
And it really does work. I mean, we live out here in the Southwest, and I have an insulated bottle, and I make people drink of it. I say, come on, I don't have any germs. You have to drink that. This was 12 hours ago. I put it in the car, and it's still ice cold because that's, and if you have any type of even safe, approved other kind of bottle, you cannot keep it. You cannot keep it cold, which out here is what really matters the most, really and truly. And then we only have about 2 minutes left close to that, but I want to talk to you about in your journey, which is now like, 8 years? Are you seeing
almost nine,
the demographic grow, and who's getting on the bandwagon the most from where you sit? Is it really the youth? Are we getting to see from your the interest in what you're doing and the partners you have, a tipping point? I mean, I keep wanting that tipping point, especially when it comes to plastic pollution.
Well, I'd say it's going in two streams, and I think the demographic has grown in one sense in that there's definitely more youth coming on board. Mothers and families, it's been a staple all along. Mothers are concerned about their kids, and they are looking for safety. They're looking for safe products. So that's always been there. It still is. It's growing. It's strong. Youth is growing for sure. More and more kids are just becoming aware of the issue and as I say, acting on it. So that's another huge demographic. Grandparents is another one. As the baby boomers age, they're concerned about their kids and their grandkids, so they too are looking for safer products and for ways to lessen the impact on the environment. So, and that's kind of a broad answer. It's sort of across the board. But
it's a hopeful answer. I mean, it really is a very hopeful answer. It's got to reach breakpoint at some point.
Well, the other stream I was going to mention is that the other thing we are seeing is that there does seem to be more and more plastic out there. The packaging problem is enormous. It's really a problem.
Plastic packaging is
just the disposable stuff. It's showing up all over the place, and it's becoming so clear from the ocean research that's going on. So that's bad, but it's good that it's coming out into the mainstream media now, finally, and with work like what Algalita and Five Gyres and EWG are doing. It's getting it out there to a broader audience.
And Oceana,
stars, celebrities.
Yes, surf riders. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many organizations that are getting it to our attention, front and center, and a lot of people don't mess with my oceans. And when you start seeing that, it's unbelievable. We have 30 seconds left. Everybody, go visit lifewithoutplastic.com. Follow them on Facebook, on Twitter. Become a part of that unbelievably great community. Jay, thank you and your wife for showing up in the world. Everybody, next week, we have Dana Gunders from the Natural Resources Defense Council, a return guest, author of Waste-Free Kitchen. Make it a great green week, everybody, and thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.